Olchek got to it. Olchek busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olchek! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fiore on the six side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olchek. Don't do what Cap's doing right now, but kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Hawk.
Olchek!
He is the great Eddie Olchek. He's been so gracious with his time throughout the season. And last night, he said it was the loudest building he's ever been in. He joins us now. Edzo, good morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Capper. Hey, David. Good morning.
How you doing? And your thoughts on last night? I heard you say earlier, I think to Mully and Hanley, that loudest building you've ever been in. Accurate? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, you heard right. The energy. I mean, we talked about it on Time STL, at 5 o'clock there when you guys had me on. And I think the anticipation, Capper, knowing what was at stake, toughest ticket in town, maybe the toughest ticket in town in a long, long time. But, I think the crowd and then the anthem and then the way the game was going and, at times, I mean, you couldn't hear. I mean, I got a headset on up in the booth, and I'm 150 yards from center ice. And at times I couldn't hear. And then when Duncan Keith scored on his second chance opportunity, I mean, I was in Chicago Stadium as a fan a lot, and then I was there obviously as a player for many games as a Blackhawk and as a visitor. But that sequence of Duncan Keith scoring, and right after that, that was just incredible noise, and I think people realized what was going to take place some hour and a half later.
You know, Eddie, I think Duncan Keith deserved the Conn Smythe Trophy, as everyone has said before, and we talked about yesterday on the show. I just think, though, when you look at last night and in the series, and we've talked about it, yesterday was 2 months ago to the day when Corey Crawford got yanked for Scott Darling. Uh-huh. I know that Joe Quenneville doesn't want to call it a benching, but it was a benching. Mm-hmm. And here he is last night in a cup clincher pitching a shutout. I know the defense mm-hmm. in front of him was terrific, but when he stopped Stamkos, you had a sense that was his night. And this guy finally put everyone to rest, every idea that he can't handle pressure mm-hmm. and all the stuff that people say about him. He's got two cups, and the second one is largely because of him because he was great in this series.
Yeah. Well, I go back to what we talked about, last week, David, that if it wasn't for Corey Crawford in the regular season, the Blackhawks are a wild card team instead of finishing third in division and playing Nashville. Who knows what happens if they get to a wild card? Does everything happen the same way? I mean, could they beat Anaheim in the first round? They beat them in the third? Yeah, I guess they could have, but you just don't know how it's all going to play out. He had his best regular season as a National Hockey League goaltender. Yeah, he got off to a tough start in the playoffs. Yeah, he got benched, but he came in that game six, and he helped the team win after being down. And look, in the Stanley Cup final, game one was a goalie win, my opinion. Periods two and three of game five were a goalie win, my opinion. And last night, he made the huge stop on Steven Stamkos, got a break on the post. He made a real good stop on Andre Palat. I believe that was the third period when Palat got a second-chance opportunity and Crawford stuck out the big trapper and was able to absorb it. I mean, that was a phenomenal save. And, let's not forget the flurry that in Game 4, the last, 4 minutes, whatever it was, after Saad scored the goal to make it 2-1, he made the save. So I think he's proven to everybody that he is an elite goaltender, and you can look around the league and say, well, this guy's better, this guy's better. I mean, could you put this guy in this system and would he have the same success? Sure, but that's not what it is. He's your goaltender. He's proven to be the guy in two cups in 3 years. That's pretty special stuff.
Talking to the great Eddie Olchek. Last night, the anthem was the loudest I had ever heard. The buzz was palpable throughout the game. From your perspective up top, what did you say? I thought the Lightning actually got off to a decent start.
No, they got off to a very good start. Very good. I mean, that was kind of the trend in this series, except for game five where the Blackhawks, you know, took it to them and played. And, you know, I think Joel Quenneville said in the in-game interview with Pierre McGuire on our NBC broadcast is, you know, they were a little nervous, little tentative. And that's, like I told, what we talked about yesterday. I mean, what was the thing that we talked about yesterday was, you know, this game, the mental focus going into this game will be the toughest that these guys ever challenge because of the setting, because of the scene and the anticipation of what's going on. But, you know, they found some opportunities, and I think staying out of the penalty box certainly helped. Two bad penalties by Tampa Bay last night, the one by Brian Boyle knocking the brain bucket off the head of Patrick Kane, and then the bad elbow by Palat on Oduya last night. I mean, that's 4 minutes, right? I mean, that's 4 minutes where you're exhausting Hedman and Strawman and guys that kill a lot of penalties. I mean, those are hard minutes. And, you know, I just think that at the end of the day, the Hawks found their game, and Duncan Keith made that heck of a play after just a beautiful play from Richards to Kane. Kane bought time, made a beautiful aerial pass, and Dunk followed up his rebound and found a way to get the GWG.
You know, Eddie, I think after the game, there's some attention paid. John Cooper was pretty open. He volunteered the information, I believe. Wasn't in the post game with the Lightning reporters, but I learned that he talked about Ben Bishop played with a torn groin. Also, uh-huh. Tyler Johnson had a broken wrist, I believe. I think uh-huh. we'll hear about other things as they come out. The yeah. Hawks certainly played injured. What do you think about a coach being that open that quickly after losing in a cup final like that? And is that did he breach hockey etiquette in any way?
Yeah. I don't know if he broke any etiquette. I mean, I'm not a big fan of right after the game, you know, of divulging what went on with his team or whatever. I mean, look, that's his prerogative, and he's an outstanding coach. I know him personally. He's a friend of mine. You know, would I have done that? No. You know, I'd give it a day, get back to Tampa, and then go ahead and what have you. But look, I mean, we knew, right? I mean, we knew what was going on with a lot of these guys that were banged up on both sides. The Hawks have a handful of guys that have had nagging injuries. But, hey, you know what? Doesn't matter. You got to play. If you can't play, the next man up. And that's the etiquette. If you can't get it done, or you're at 60% and whatever, and you don't think you can help the team, well then, you know, you got to take your jersey off, your sweater off, and get the next guy out there. But everybody's banged up. It's a grind. I mean, it is an absolute grind. And you think about how fast this series was at times. It was pretty entertaining from the chair that I sat in for all six games.
Edzo, we appreciate you taking time. Know how busy you are. And then Thursday, there'll be a parade and another rally. You were pretty emotional when you were in our studio one day talking about winning a cup as a Chicago kid.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Did that emotion hit you at all last night to think, man, I grew up in this town. Hockey became irrelevant, as you put it yesterday. Uh-huh. And yesterday we looked around. They pulled a 52 rating, 52.5 rating on NBC. A
lot of people here.
I mean, we're
Eddie.
Talking about bigger than the Super Bowl in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I'm thankful that my partner, my great partner, Doc Emmerich, once Scott Darling got when he got the Stanley Cup, you know, Doc passed it to me. And to be able to remember when I was in studio with you guys, I said, you know, like, who is going to be that first kid, you know? And who is going to be that first Chicago native, that born and bred kid that grew up a Blackhawk fan to have his name on the cup as a member of the Chicago Blackhawks? And his name's Scott Darling. And to get that opportunity to me was real special. You know, to see where this game has come, the leadership, and I can't emphasize that enough, not only on the ice with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, Marian Hossa, but then the coaching staff and Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman and hockey ops, and move your way up through the office. And then, of course, with John McDonough and Jay Blunk under the Rocky Wirtz umbrella. I mean, that's leadership both on and off the ice. And to see where this franchise has come in a very, very short period of time. Let's not forget, Blackhawk home games were not on television until about 8 years ago. All Blackhawk home games. A whole generation had gone by without seeing what I think, and I'm not a little biased, I'm a lot biased, is I think the greatest game in the world. And what's happened here I hope everybody really appreciates and understands that this is not the norm. But what they've been able to accomplish both on and off the ice as a Chicago guy and somebody that lives it every day and tries to be a, you know, an unofficial spokesperson for the game, where this team has taken hockey in this town. And then it's my job and the great Pat Foley as well is to teach people the game, so people have confidence in talking about it so that if you get on the radio in the morning or somebody puts a pen to paper or a finger to a computer and says, you know, hey, you know, this is what the Hawks are not doing. They need to improve on their neutral zone forecheck. And then that's my job to teach because I want it to be everyday lingo like it is for football and basketball and baseball because most people didn't grow up with the game of hockey. So now it's an opportunity to sell the game, to promote the game, and most importantly, from where I sit, teach the game, not only on television, but to all those young hockey players out there, boys and girls, about how great this game can be. And, I mean, yeah, I always wonder what it would be like, you know. And like I said, I grew up as a kid in Niles and Palos Heights and always dreaming about the Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup at the old Chicago Stadium. And then, like I said, I failed as a player, as a member of the Blackhawks. But to see that happen last night, you know, it was one for the ages for sure.
Hey, as we let you go, I had to ask you one question. I was reading an analytical article that said face-offs are somewhat overrated because you can win the face-off and lose possession right away. Yet the Hawks won, I think I got the numbers right, 42 of 62 face-offs last night in Game 6. In your opinion, being around so long, how important is winning at the dot?
Yeah, I mean, that's the first part of your question or statement, Capper, about, I mean, it's not overrated. I mean, I think it's a very, very important part of the game. You can control what goes on. It's not an individual stat. It's a team stat. I mean, how good was Vermette last night? Every time Doc Emmerich said, oh, Antoine Vermette is 73% of it, he won another one. And Doc, well, now he's 73.4%. I mean, every time he stuck his, he put his stick in the faceoff dot, it was like an automatic win. Tyler Johnson, by the way, I mean, he's very good in the faceoff dot, but, you know, when you got a busted arm, that's going to prevent you from taking any faceoffs. But I think it's a very, very important stat. Coaches look at that, whether it's not only the defensive zone, but the offensive zone as well. But, hey, the way teams manage the puck in the middle of the ice, you know, you got to win those faceoffs. So it's one of those things you just can't take for granted, and teams practice it all the time. And when you get on a roll, it's like being at the crap table or being at the track. When you get on a roll, you feel it, and you know you're going to win every faceoff, that's for sure.
Appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, Eddie.
Okay, guys. You guys have a wonderful day.
We'll see you Thursday.
Yep.
So Thursday's the day, huh? Is that the rumor? Or
yep.
What?
No, it's official.
It's official.
They announced
official.
It.
Okay. Yep.
Clear your calendar.
Okay.
So we'll see you there.
You can't go to the races that day, Eddie.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Tell Tammy Domineski hello. See you later.
See you, boys.
Bye. That's Eddie's trainer of his horse, by the way.
Okay.